Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you. Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line this evening my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line tonight?
Yes, I am. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, I believe, all the way from Hampton, Virginia. Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Praise God. We thank God for allowing us to get back together one more time. And so we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G., we come to another Thursday, another interesting week has gone by where we can see God at work and see the word actually be applied. And it's just awesome to watch God work.
Right.
And on last week, we were talking about how we can see the miracles of God and how we can pull on our past victories and help us get to our present day storms.
Amen.
And we were seeing how God works in a way that sometimes we get emotional and we get in our feelings, but in spite of our emotions and our feelings, God is working it out for our good, and that His will be done. And one of the songwriters wrote that God knows what's best for me, and sometimes we get in our feelings, we get in our emotions, and we get upset and angry with God. But I'm glad God knows what's best for us, because if it was left up to us, every day would be sunny and bright and low humidity and no problems at all. But God knows that sometimes we need a little rain in our lives so we can appreciate His sunshine.
Amen.
And we thank God for just allowing us to be able to have his word, which allows us to see that it's not always going to be trouble. And, you know, that was another songwriter said that trouble don't last always. And, you know, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. And, you know, as we look at the word of God, and as we wrapped up last Thursday in chapter 9, we see how God had prepared Peter to be able to trust God to do the impossible. And I don't know about you, Sheila, but I was so encouraged to hear when you shared your testimony about how at 3 and a half, you know, you were shot point blank through the head.
Mm-hmm.
But God performed a miracle, and you never lost consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and you are able to grow up, and you're able to go to school, get married, have children, and, you know, give all your brothers raise hell, and, you know, be the diva that you are today.
Amen.
and I often pray for Dr. G because he's experiencing the miracle of Sheila G. I mean, Dr. G, how long you been married?
32 years.
How long you been married, Dr. G?
32 years. That is,
Amen.
No
miracles still. Yeah, miracles still happen, and I was just enjoying to hear about all the miracles that God did. And at the end of chapter 9, God used Peter to bless two people in preparing him to go to a situation that if he had not had that experience with God, that he wouldn't be able to handle in ministry. And God allows miracles and things to happen in our lives so that we can see the power of God. And so when we see the power of God, when God wants to take us to another level in ministry, we have no questions. And not to say we don't have any questions, but we can respond immediately because we know what God can do. Sheila G, I was just joking with you about you being a diva.
That's okay.
He is.
Right.
I live with one too. First lady.
Amen.
She's a diva too.
Well, that's what happened when y'all spoilers. That's why.
Amen.
Truly, it is true that God, the experiences that we share in our life, God is just preparing us to do more good on his behalf. But we have to accept his will. We have to trust in him and lean not to our own understanding. Sometimes when God is allowing us to go through things, it is for us to prepare us for the future. But we don't want to go through to get through. And, you know, I was talking to Jesse and I have been talking about, because she's going to be graduating. She's going to be a senior next year at Hampton. And, you know, we're talking about when she starts going to work and everything after she graduates. And I said, you know, too often people will get their degree or whatever and they want to go rise straight up to the top. They don't want to work from the bottom up. And, I've been sharing with her. I said, it's okay to start out small and work your way up because that builds that foundation. What happens is if people get everything handed to them on a silver platter and you don't go through the process, you get to a certain point and you fall and you think you know everything, but you don't. And that's why we have to, you know, trust in God that what we go through and the things that he allows us to go through is to make us stronger and to give us more knowledge and to be able to continue forward. And at the end of the day, be true and faithful servants unto him.
Amen, amen. And Dr. G, I know you've been in ministry for quite some time, and you've seen some of the young ministers come in, and immediately they want to be Reverend Dr. Bishop, and it's like you got to go through some things. You in order to be affected and seasoned in ministry. Not to say that God doesn't use young ministers, but but the effectiveness and the power comes through having experiences with God to the point where when things happen in ministry and congregations that you're equipped to be able to not just talk from what you heard, but from what you have experienced and seen God do in your life. Can you talk a little bit about that, Dr. G?
Well, it's true. I mean, when I look back over my life, especially my ministry, I did not know then what the Lord was getting ready to do. I mean, I have seen a little bit of everything. I've had to go through a little bit of everything to make me the type of preacher and pastor that I am. I had to learn humility. I had to learn to understand what, you know, suffering was. And you want to say something back, but the Holy Spirit just binds your tongue. So it's a learning thing, and it's not all glamorous. I mean, you hurt sometimes. You cry sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You want to give up sometimes. But the Spirit within you will not let you do it because it's for a greater cause. And that's what I think a lot of these young preachers need to understand. Yeah, ministry is great. They look at the prestige that come with it, but they don't look at the hard work and the suffering that goes with it. You've got to put some time in order to get to this point.
Amen. And I often share with ministers and people that are called into ministry, and I tell them the cost of the anointing. And sometimes they look at me like, what do you mean the cost of the anointing?
Uh-huh.
The anointing that God gives you, it comes with a cost.
Yeah.
it's something that people don't see the things that you've been praying about. They don't see the times you're on your knees. They don't see the things that you've gone through or that you've been through. And so they just think, you know, hey, I got it. You know, I'm going, that's me. That's what I want. And you know, but the anointing costs. It's something that the Holy Spirit it exacts from people that I don't think initially people understand, and sometimes people will never understand. But you know, people say, oh, that's a powerful testimony that Sheila G gave, or she's powerful in ministry, or Dr. G is doing XYZ in ministry, but they don't understand that Dr. G went through this or Sheila G went through this. They don't understand that was exacted from you many years ago to get you to this place, Sheila G.
Amen, amen. And that's when you look back on it. You don't understand it while you're going through it, but then something will happen that you're able to get through, and or God will use you in a certain situation, and you're like, oh, now I understand what it was for such a time as this. You know, like taking it really from like the Esther, as far as when she had mm-hmm. to save people, that what she had to go through, but it was for such a time as this that her uncle had told her. So it's the same thing with us, is whatever God is experiencing, when you're truly committed to Him and you're open to do His will, even when you don't understand His will, He will reveal to you eventually what it was
yes.
that you had to go through and what you had to do. It was for such a time as this. But He's not going to let you know when it's happening, because He wants you to walk by faith. He wants you to trust
Amen.
Him. He wants you to say, are you going to trust me for trust's sake? Are you going to have faith in me because you love me and you have accepted me as your Lord and Savior, and you are going to blindly follow what it is that I, my will for you, and then I'll reveal it to you later on. And so we have to show that commitment to Him before He can use us to do His work, as well as to receive our blessings.
Amen. And this takes us to chapter 10 of Acts. And in chapter 10 of Acts, God is getting ready to introduce the Jewish believers to the non-Jewish believers. In other words, the Jewish people were privileged, or you could say they had Jewish privilege, because God chose them to be the people that he would come to, and that they would be a repository for his word, and they were supposed to set an example to the rest of the world. But they got to the point where they thought they were the only ones that had a relationship with God. That they were the sons of Abraham, and everybody else was riffraff. And you know, because of God's command to them to stay pure, and there were certain things that they could eat, and there were certain things that they did that were purifying, and certain things they called unclean, and all the other nations, nationality of people that they did those things. It gave the Jews that didn't have understanding of God that they were privileged, or they had some type of favoritism with God. But here, God is preparing Peter to let them know that now I'm not just the God of the Jews, but I'm the God of those that believe that I'm God. In other words, the same belief that God counted to Abraham as righteous when he believed God is the same God that any whosoever gets counted as righteousness when they believe the God. And so here's a class of races, the race of the Jew, the race of the Gentile. And it's still clashing today. It's still clashing today. Where people think that they have the corner on the market on God, or because they do certain things, and other people think they got the corner on the market with God, and because you don't do this and you don't do this, that I got the privilege of being the first one to know God, and because I got the privilege of being the first one to know God, then I can look down my nose on you, even though you believe just like I believe.
Amen. And they forget that God talks about loving your brothers as you love yourself. So the selective, love thy neighbor, and the selective, pulling scripture out of context to make it the way that they want to make it, not realizing that we're all equal in God's sight. He's not a respecter of person. He loves us all. Gives that opportunity for all of us to make that choice. And so it's no big eyes, little yous. His salvation is for everyone.
Amen. And so God uses Peter, and he uses a fellow by the name of Cornelius to where this encounter comes. The Jew comes encounter with the Gentile, and the Holy Spirit is revealed or poured out on the Gentiles, just like it was poured out on the Jews when they were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And he had to get Peter straight in order for Peter to be able to accept this. In other words, Peter had to have an uncomfortable encounter with God in order to understand that God was not a respecter of person. And you know, I'm studying this, and I'm looking at this whole thing that we're going through with racism right now, and I'm saying, God, you're an awesome God, because there are people that think they have a privilege for whatever reason, but God has to have an uncomfortable conversation with them to let them know that God's still not a respecter of person, and that. Whatever God made, or whoever God made, and God calls clean, just because you don't think it's clean, is it doesn't change the fact that God says I made it, and it's not unclean. In other words, there's no little U's, there's no big I's in little U's. In other words, what God is showing Peter is that these same people that walk the earth, that these same people that might be from over here, are my creation, and because they're my creation, I love them too, and I have no more love for you than I have for them. Dr. G?
Well, you know, that's the beauty of Christ. I was sitting here thinking about the Jews back in the Old Testament. Now, although they were the chosen people, but they got too comfortable with that, and they still didn't really serve the Lord the way that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Christ came along, you know, it was the thing that the Lord opened it up to Gentiles alike. And for the Jewish people, they, you know, they were under this impression that, you know, this whole thing of God and religion, it was just about them. But they got complacent. They got comfortable. And, you know, there are many people outside of the Jewish race that when you read the Bible accepted the Lord as their personal Savior. And so Jesus just beginning now to let folk know, you know, it's not just for the Jews, but it's
Amen.
For other people also. And they had a problem with that.
Amen. Amen. It's the good old racism.
Uh-huh.
Way back then. And God had to have an uncomfortable conversation with Peter.
That's right.
and let's go to scripture. Let's go to Acts 10. I'm gonna start off in the NIV. Acts 10, verse 1. It says, "At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regime or regiment. In other words, he was military. And Italian military. And in verse 2, he said, he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He
Amen.
Gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Now, here's a fellow that's not a Jew, Sheila.
Yeah.
Amen.
He feared God.
Yeah.
He and his family were devout, and he gave and ministered regularly. In other words, he acted like God and acted godly without having to have the title of being a Jew. And see, that's what people have just because they have the title, or they say they're Abraham's seed, or they have the title or the appearance, doesn't mean that they act like they know God. And so the people that act like they know God, whether you're a Jew, a Gentile, whatever race you are, it's how you behave is what God's looking at. Sheila G.
Amen. And that is the key. How you behave. They say the thing about your character is what you do when no one is looking. And it's the same thing here. And it's not because you have a certain title or a certain way. You know, it's kind of like when you look at kids. When you have children, you have multiple children, and each one has its own personality, but you don't love one child more than you love the other because they're still your child. You don't feed one and not feed the other because they're still your child. And just because this one was born first and this was born last, it doesn't make a difference that you still love those children in the same way. And we're at the end of the day, we are all God's children. So here you had them acting godly as if they were God's child, whether they were Jewish
Amen.
Or not.
Amen. And that's the thing. The thing is they feared God. They gave generously to those in need and prayed to God, Dr. G, regularly. In other words,
Amen.
These folks didn't have to be Jewish to have a relationship with God, Dr. G.
Amen. Well, you're right, and I think that shows us it doesn't, you know, you talked about the racism card. It doesn't matter what color, what race we're from. And here, you know, what really got me was what says that he was a devout man, one who feared God, and not just him, but his whole household, and who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always, whereas some of the Jews is like hitting and missing.
Amen. Amen. And so
Amen.
So who is the child of God? Go ahead, Sheila.
No, I was asking Pastor because he said hitting and missing. It reminds me of some of us.
Amen. So who is the true child of God? The one that does God. You know, Paul wrote, faith without works is dead.
That's right.
He said, show me your works, and I'll show you someone who's God's fair. In other words, you can't just be a child of God in name only. Is what the Acts writer is saying. You see, you just can't walk around like you're entitled, and act like the devil. You just can't do it. It doesn't add up. And so the Acts writer is setting the stage and saying, look, I need to speak to the Jew folks, to the Jewish folks, let them know that these folks bleed just like you. These folks love God just like you, and you just can't treat them any old kind of way. And this was a big, I'm talking about a big deal, where you had the Jews realizing that, Lord have mercy, these Gentile folk get saved too with the same Holy Ghost. And like you said, Dr. G, some of them had problems. I mean, they had big problems. And Peter caught hell. He caught hell when he went back to his folks to tell them, look, these Gentiles over here, they got the same Holy Ghost that we got. Because they speak in tongues just like we spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost. They got the same thing. And some of them were indignant. Some of them were indignant because they thought they were privileged, that they were the only ones that were entitled to be called the children of God. And you got some crazy stuff that's going on in this world that went on back then, where people think because of their position or whatever that they're better than somebody. And that's just not the case. God is not a respecter of person. And if we would look to the word of God, God never treated people, amen, telling them to love each other. You know, he never treated people like that. And when people believe, that's when God counts it to them as righteousness. Abraham was someone that got before they were even called Jews. He believed God, and God counted it as righteousness. And so that's the key to the relationship with God, is if you believe God and you behave in a manner like you do believe God. Sheila G.
Amen. I was just thinking that God tells us to love your neighbor like you love yourself. So if you do that, it means if you feel like you're privileged, then your neighbor is just as privileged, because that's God's command. God loves us all. It says, God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, the world, that means all of us. That doesn't mean that he only loves certain people of the world. It's like the whole world, anybody that accepts him as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he commands us to love our neighbors just like we love ourselves.
Amen. Amen. And that's his command. And Jesus dealt with that. You know, he's like, who is your neighbor? And he had many parables where he told them about who their neighbor was. So let's continue on. And I want to read verse 3. And again, I'm reading in NIV now. He says, this is Acts chapter 10, verse 3. He says, one day about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. This is Cornelius. And he distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Now again, this is a devout Gentile that has a relationship with God, and then the angels are coming to speak to him. When you have a relationship with God, God will talk to you and God will minister to you, and so you have a relationship with God, and that's one of the biggest things, is people who have a relationship with God. A personal relationship with God will behave godly. When people don't have a personal relationship with God, the tree is known by the fruit that it bears. If you don't have a personal relationship with God, there's no way in the world you're going to act like God. You're going to act like your father, which is Satan. You're not going to act like your father, which is a holy God. Mm-hmm. And so here he's being visited by God through an angel, and he calls him Cornelius. And in verse 4, he says, Cornelius stared at him and said. And this, throughout the Bible, always happens is when people are visited by an angel, that their humanness causes them to fear what in the world is going on. And that's what he asked him in verse 4. He said, What is it, Lord? He asked. Huh. And God always calms the fear. It's okay to have a righteous fear of the mm-hmm. Lord. In verse 4, in here he says, Lord. Dr. G, he says, Lord. The Gentile says, Lord. And the significance of this is that even though he's not after the seed of Abraham, he still knew God as Lord. And so this stands out above everything else, is that you can say and talk a whole bunch of God, but until you recognize God as Lord, in other words, until you recognize who he is, then all the talk is just cheap. And so when he recognizes him as Lord, then what happens is God has the ability to be able to get the glory out of that person's life. But until you recognize him as Lord, then what has to happen, there needs to be some more process until you realize that he is the Lord, that he is the Savior. And when you recognize him as Lord and Savior, then God can begin to start using you in a manner that's pleasing to him. Dr. G, can you help me out on that with this talking to call
yes,
him Lord as a Gentile?
You hit it. When we get to the point where we do recognize God as Lord and Savior. You know, I'm trying not to meddle, but it's hard not to. The problem with most people today, they know God, they know about God, but they don't know him as Lord and Savior. Because if we did, we would act differently. Our talk and our walk would all work together, you know. This whole business of, okay, we come to church when we feel like it. If we got something else going on, we're going to take care of that. And then we show a sign of godliness, but it's just not there. But then we don't understand why trouble comes our way all the time, because we don't really have that personal relationship with the Lord. I mean, My daily walk with the Lord now, I know when God is talking to me. I know when God tells
Amen.
Me to do X, Y, and Z. So, and I hear the Spirit's voice. If I mess up, I know I mess up because the Lord let me know. But people, until they draw that close to the Lord, you know, we got to stop making excuses as to why we don't do this, why we don't call in the Bible study. I know I'm going with it. Why we don't call in the prayer service, why we can't come to church. Okay, this is virtual. But if this is the only way that we're doing church, then what's the problem? Well, you know, Pastor, I just can't get with this virtual thing. Well, even when the doors were open, you still wasn't getting it with that.
My Lord.
The whole thing. The giving. We give what we want to. And then we wonder why there's so much hell in our life. Why are we going through so much? Or when sickness comes. I mean, I know folk right now that the only time they become godly or they refer to the Lord as Lord
mm-hmm.
is when they're going through something.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, they're back in the flesh doing their own thing. And until people recognize this, just like with the Jews back then, it didn't matter whether you were Jew. The Lord
mm-hmm.
was beginning to recognize the Gentiles. Hey, you got a Gentile man outside
Come on now.
Of the Jewish faith that
Come
knew
on now.
All about the fact that this was Lord. And even when the angel came, he said, Lord.
Yeah.
Until we stop playing with this thing and get real, we'll never fully understand the significance of it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The that that is so powerful because it lets you know that this is what God is looking for. He's not looking for just a title. He's looking for people's heart.
Yeah,
he wants to see where your heart is.
Yeah.
He want to know, are you faking the funk? he wants to see where you are. And if you go to that second part of that verse, he said, the angel answered your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Cornelius was a bad boy, even though he wasn't cute. he was praying to God. He was ministering to the poor, and it got God's attention. When's the last time we got God's attention in that kind of way? When's the last time God said, he didn't have to worry about being a Jew. He said, I ain't worried about being a Jew. I know the Lord for myself. You don't have to give me a title. You don't have to beg me to do the right thing. He said, I know I need to pray. I'm praying for my neighbor. I'm praying for the poor. I'm giving gifts to the poor. And recognize that he's not doing it just to be seen. A lot of the Jews, they did it just to be seen. He was doing it because it was in his heart. God was in his heart. And this is what God placed in his heart to do. And God recognized this. God recognized that his heart was right. And God understood that he could use this Cornelius as a vessel to be able to reach others. God, if you got a stank attitude, you ain't gonna reach nobody for God.
And it's so true. And as we were looking at this, God can't bless us in our mess. He can't bless unless we truly accept him as Lord and Savior. And if we do right for righteousness' sake, God will bless us. He may not bless you right then and there, but he will bless you. If you're doing things and you're doing it not to be seen by man, but doing it because God commands you to do it, and you're just, you have that relationship with him, that's how you get blessed. And even when things are challenging, you still recognize it that God is blessing him. You're blessed because you have peace of mind that you're doing it because God has instructed you to do it. We cut off so many of our blessings because we have that stank attitude. Because it's like, wait a minute, Lord, you telling me to help this person? They talked about me like a dog. I'm not giving them a dime, but that's not godly. If you still go ahead and do the godly thing, he will make your enemies a fool. If you do what God tells you to do and you may be hurting, weeping may endure for a night, but he's going to give you that joy and that joy in your blessings. But we have to show God in our relationship that we are truly committed to him. And that means serving him with services, prayer, Bible study, because that strengthens us spiritually so that when that flesh comes in, because we do get fleshy, the Holy Spirit will come. Even when we're tired, to go that extra mile. When we're not feeling well, go that extra mile. When we don't particularly care for a certain person because of what they've done to us, or sometimes you give, and you feel like you're not getting it back, but if you just go into that Colossians 3, which is one of my favorites, when he says, you do it anyway because you're doing it unto me. So when every exercise, every task, everything that you do, if you truly listen to God and you're doing it not so much to please man but to please God, God will come to you. He may be instructing you to do something else, but at the same time, he's going to let you know, this is my child who I am well pleased, and he will give you blessings. It may not be material. Sometimes a blessing is just having the peace of mind to know that he's got your back.
Amen. Amen. It's powerful to see that God he recognized it came as a memorial. If you look at that same verse in the King James, it says, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God." Lord have mercy, Dr. G. I'm like, you know, this is powerful that God lets us know that our prayers and our alms and the way we behave, they come up before him. That should give all of us a pause to say, am I doing and saying and praying the things that are pleasing to God? And if I am, is this coming before God that God can trust me to use me to do his will? And if we come with some off-the-wall stuff that's just to please ourselves, that we have status and look at me and leave God out of it, then we're going to be limited. And so when I look at this, it's like, wow, you know, this is letting the believers in God know that God is watching. I think sometimes people don't believe that God is watching, Dr. G.
Amen. Well, you know, that scripture that says that God looks at the heart, and people are, especially church folk Christians, you know, we're quick to use that scripture about how the Lord looks at the heart. And if folks really believe that, and if they really thought about that for a minute, they would slow down and pull back off of that. Here you look at this man, because he was devout, because he was serious, he had a relationship. His giving and his everything came up before the Lord, and the Lord was going to make a memorial in this man. But yet people just go through the motions. I mean, if we understood what that verse says about, you know, God looks at the heart. And if we did and really thought about it and apply ourselves, we'd be much better off doing the things that the Lord would have us to do. That's why Christians can't be blessed, or church folk can't be blessed like they want. You know, they quote scripture, but they're really living it. This man was living
it. Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that is the key. That is the key. It's the same. You can go all the way back with what's considered the oldest chronological book in the Bible was with Job. You know, that he was an upright man and he eschewed evil. You know, and you know, this is what God is looking at. He's not looking for titles. He's not looking for look at me, look at me. He wants to know how you act.
Yeah.
God wants to know, Sheila J. God wants to know if you got some act right.
Right.
I'm talking about some act right that's going to be pleasing to him. If you got some act right, Lord have mercy. It's going to come to God. God's going to say, yeah, the devil's saying this about you, the devil's saying about this. But I see what the brother and sister got some act right.
That's
what he said about Job. He said, have you considered my servant Job?
That's right.
An upright man that eschews evil? That he turned away from evil. How many of us can God say, yeah, you talking this about him, you talking this about her, but I know him, and I know what they did, and I can bring it up and tell you what he or she did. And by doing this, God knows that he can use that person, like he knew he could use Job, to say, though you slay me, yet will I trust him. When them folks came in with that nay stuff, with all that negative stuff, even his wife got off the chain. And he said, you sound like one of them foolish women. And he stepped with his God, and God blessed him.
Yeah.
And so God is looking for folk. He said, I want to see what you do. Talk is cheap. You don't make me know. Never mind. But what you say, I want to see what you do. And this is the servant that God wants, because God can use that servant to do his will. And here he's going to use Cornelius to send people out to tell Peter, I need you to come and start ministering to the Gentiles and to be able to have people follow him and do what he said, because ain't no way in the world these Jewish folk going to receive anything from the Gentile folks, not unless they were sent from God. Racism was bad back then. It was like people would avoid going through certain parts of the town, certain parts of the city, or going certain part and place because you would get jacked. So, you know, we have to understand there's nothing new under the sun, but God wants to know that he can use you And he doesn't want lip service, Sheila G.
Amen. He has to know that you're committed to him. You know, back to what we were saying about recognize God as your Lord and Savior. Yes, he saved you. He saved your soul, saved you from going to hell, that you will go to heaven. But while you're still here, you can only enjoy the trip if you recognize God as your Lord. And in recognizing him as the Lord, the head of your household, the head of your life, the one that will lead and guide you even when you don't understand why, that's how you will be blessed. And if not, God can't use you. You're actually cutting off your own blessings. Yes, you saved. You've accepted him as your Savior, but you've got to accept him as your Lord. Then God can use you, and then he can bless you. Then you can pass the test. Because, you know, we always say that a lot of times we're going through, you know, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired because it's like, why is this always happening to me? Sometimes it is a joke situation where God is truly testing. Are you going to trust? It's easy to trust God when life is going wonderful and everything's falling in place. But can you trust God when you're faced with the challenges of the world?
Wow.
You know, we went through all that with our mom last year. It was like, it seemed like from February till November, it was one thing after another. But we just continued to give God the glory. She still kept singing songs of Jesus until the end. And that is where God tests your faith. It's like, are you going to trust in me when times are hard? And then if that's the case, then I can use you to help to draw others, because you can tell people, but you know what? He did it before. He'll do it again. What the enemy means for evil, God will work it out for your good. But
come on,
you
man.
Won't be able see him work it out for good if when the enemy is coming up against you, you just give up or you try to fight with your fleshly warfares versus the spiritual warfare.
Amen. That's some good stuff. Good stuff. But you know, you got to know me, Lord, and you got to have a relationship with God. Well, you trust in God, and God can trust you based upon your record.
Right.
And he said it came up as a memorial. In other words, God remember, hey, this fella I can trust to go get Peter, or Peter to come and to minister to the Gentiles. And you know, God uses people in ways that it might not seem big and it might not stand out, but he knows what you're doing. He knows your heart. He knows how you're working. Believe me, God knows every one of our hairs on our head. He knows us individually. He knows our voices. He knows our thoughts. God is omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's all knowing, and he's omnipresent. He's there everywhere at the same time. And so we can be real with God, you know. We can be real. We can talk with him. We can say, hey, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I want to do. But when your heart is fixed and your mind's made up, you say, God, I'm in it. You know, you hear this old saying from the movies, ride or die. You're gonna be my ride or die. You know, you in it. You know, and we're gonna go and we're gonna see what the end gonna be. You know, that's what Job said. He said, "Though you slay me," he said, "yet will I trust him."
All right.
It's like them three Hebrew boys, Mr. Shadrach, Mr. Meshach, and Mr. Abednego. He said that you know we're not gonna bow down. He told the old king, "We're not gonna bow down. We're gonna continue to serve God, and he's gonna deliver us." You know, but even if he doesn't deliver us, come on now. even if he doesn't deliver it, Sheila G, Dr. G, he said, we know he's able.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
And when you know God is able, good God Almighty, what happens is God can begin to start using you to his glory. When Abraham went up on that mountain with Isaac and after all the heck that Abraham went through, And God said, I want you to get up early, go up on that mountain and kill your boy. God got his attention way back when. Abraham said, no problem, I'm getting up. We're going to go up and we're going to kill him and we're going to come back and we're going to say, look what God did.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because he already seen that God would have raised him from the dead.
Yes.
When you are there, then God said, I know you for real. Now, I know you're not shucking and jiving. Look over there. I got a ram in the bush.
Yep.
Make that sacrifice and go on back down there and tell them what God has done. Help me out, Dr. G. I feel a preach coming on.
Well, you're doing all right. You know, the bottom line is God is looking for folk that are serious about what they say for him. And when you can compare, you look at a Job or an Abraham once the Lord got his attention and some of the others. And here with Cornelius, you know, God is, you know, we talk a good game of the Lord and we can convince people that we all this, that, and the other. But talk is cheap. God is looking for some folk that are going to call in on Bible study on Thursday night. He's looking for folk that will come to church on Sunday morning, whichever way we do it. He's looking for folks that are going to dial into prayer and going to pray to him on a regular basis. God is looking for folk who are serious-minded, not just talking a good game. And until we get to that point, until we get to the point where Job was and others, you know, we'll never really fully experience the totalness of God, if I could say that. I mean, we're missing out on blessings on top of blessings because of the kind of relationship that we do have with the Lord. It's a limited capacity. I mean, God blesses in ways that we don't even have to imagine. And if we were to do that, you know, it wouldn't take protest to get out here and show the world what's wrong and what's right. You know, the Lord could do things in different ways, but sometimes folk got to go through the hard way. And that's the way it is with church folk.
Amen.
Amen. Sheila G.?
Amen. I agree wholeheartedly that we have to show our commitment to the Lord even when we don't understand it. And when we do that, then God recognizes I can use you. I can use you for my good. And then even when you don't understand it, I can relate to what Cornelius says with fear when God comes to you and you're like, okay, Lord, what you want me to do now? And, you feel in your flesh, you feel like I can't do, you want me to do what? But then will use you for certain things because he knows that deep down you got that commitment to him. I know that when the pandemic first came and we had to start doing church virtually and we had some problems and some technical problems in the beginning and God had already given me the knowledge how to resolve it, but the enemy tried to come in and just mess everything up. And, you know, you almost want to yield to that because you're in your flesh and you almost want to say, you know what, forget it. Nobody wants to hear have to say or how I want to do or what God is living me, but then God will come to you in the quiet moment and he'll say, I gave you the tools. I've seen what you can do. I've given you the power. Stop being in your feelings. Stop feeling a certain way and then allow what I've given you to be you. Stop looking at man. Stop reacting to certain things. And by doing that and being obedient to the Lord because he put it in you to be able to do it, now our services are amazing, but had I yielded to my flesh, I said, you know what, just forget it. I'm not even going to be bothered. But God wouldn't have been able to use it, and he wouldn't have been able to get the glory. So when God gives us something, yes, we will come in fear, like, okay, Lord, what you want me to do now? Because we don't understand. And in our humanness, you know it's God speaking to you. But in your humanness, you're like, I don't think I can handle this. And God says, I didn't ask you to handle it. It's not about you. I know what I have put in you. Trust in me, and I will take care of it. And you have to recognize, that's the other thing, when you're that close to God, you recognize when the enemy is coming up at you. You recognize it when the enemy is trying to block. You know, how many times on a Thursday did our technology tear down or somebody got sick or something happened on a Thursday? And that was way back years ago when we first started getting this Bible study going. But God said, press on. Don't get discouraged. Press on. Don't get discouraged because I know that you have that relationship with me and I'm giving you that eye to see that the enemy is going to come up against you. So, yes, you have that fear, But if you trust and have that relationship with God, you can get through it, and then God can use you. Then you get on the other side, and you say, look what God has done. But had you not had that relationship, had you only trusted in how you felt, God would not have gotten glory.
Amen. Amen. This is it's a powerful first four verses of chapter 10. I want to get some of our callers to chime in. We're just going to ask a question tonight. The question is, do you understand now why you had to go through? And a lot of times we go through, while we're going through, we don't understand. But once we get through,
right,
we understand. And just want to ask the question, do you understand now why you had to go through? Go to the caller, last four digits, 1741. 1741, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, I understand now why I had to go through certain things in my life. When I was going through these various experiences, I didn't understand them, and I really didn't want to go through them. And sometimes I fought the Lord, to be honest with you. But I know He's going to win in the end.
That's
and
right.
And once I surrender over to Him and submitted my way unto His way, and accepted His will, and it's about accepting God's will in our life, and knowing the purpose, what God wants you to do. And once we surrender over to Him and say, Lord, you know, you do with me what you want to do, because what I'm thinking is not lining up with what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we surrender our ways over to Him and let Him have His way, and then God can get the glory out of our life. And it's not a one-day process. It's an everyday process.
Mm-hmm.
Every day we
mm-hmm.
ask God, you know, help me. Let me do your will and not my will. Because we all live in this flesh. And sometimes we're not feeling it. We're not feeling what God wants us to do.
Amen.
We're not feeling the way He wants us to go. And
mm-hmm.
so sometimes God got to push us and shove us and sometimes even beat us a little bit.
Yeah.
But one thing about Him, whatever He does it with love. And when we love Him, when we realize that we are disobedient, we can go back to Him and we can say, Lord, I'm so glad that you done this way. I couldn't see it years ago, but now I'm grateful. Because
mm-hmm.
God sees and He knows what we don't know. And He has our life planned out for us. And
mm-hmm.
so when we communicate with Him daily, this is why we have to pray. We have to pray daily and ask God to let His Holy Spirit lead us in the way that He wants us to go. And keep us in that word. Because the more we get in that word, the more humble and meek we become, the more we want to be obedient. And so when I pray and I'm studying, I say, Lord, you know, let your Holy Spirit give me your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. But whatever I learn and do, let it be for the upbuilding of your kingdom and also to help me be obedient to your word. And so I thank God because He's helping me more with my prayer
mm-hmm.
life now, so I know what to pray for. Because even if I know the word, if I'm not obedient to the word, if I'm not letting the word live inside of me, you know, I'm still not doing what God wants me to do. I'm doing what I want to do.
Amen.
So the word has to, you know, be obedient. I have to live that word, not only just
mm-hmm.
know it, but be obedient to that word that I can do what He wants me to do. So
Amen.
I thank God for being patient with me. And this morning I prayer, I said, Lord, thank you for being long-suffering with me. You know, God is long-suffering with us. He is patient with us. And sometimes, you know, He tell us the same thing over and over and over again. And I know, you know, like we tell our children, how many times I got to tell you this? You know,
exactly.
But God, that show you that God loves us, you know.
Amen.
And so I thank God for that love. I thank Him for his darling son, Jesus, who died for us, that we would have that grace and we would have that love. And then I'm going to close with one thing, that most of all, we would have that mercy.
Amen.
If it wasn't for that mercy, where would we be? And this is what God wants us to do. As we get in that word, the more we realize how much grace and mercy and love he has given us, he wants us to share it with our fellow man. But it's a daily process. You know, we grow in it daily, every day. It's not something that, you know, we're going to get there overnight. Some things we do. Some things we grasp right away. Some things we grow and we mature in right away. But some things it take us a long time to get there. But we thank God that he loves us enough that he doesn't remove his hand. He keeps his hand on us until we receive the perfection that he wants us to have for his glory, for his honor, for his praise.
Amen.
Thank you all so much.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 6309. 6309, you're on there.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, I do understand why I had to go through the things that I had to go through. Because when I really accepted the Lord in my life, first of all, he had to clean me up and he straightened me up. So that gave me more better way to serve him. And I'm just thankful that I had got an opportunity before I left here to be able to serve him and understand the things that he was doing for me to make me better so he could get the glory. Because now I don't have no clock, I don't have no bells or nothing. I know what Wednesday and Thursday and Sunday is. I know what it is to wake up first thing in the morning and thank him for my time and
Amen.
Thank him for his mercy and grace, you know,
Amen.
Every morning. Because, you see, he's shown me through all out this journey of mine that's not over, that he is the one that's going to help me. See, I know who he is. I know what he can do.
That's
most
right.
Important, I know what he's capable of, you see.
That's right.
There ain't nothing going to stop that. And I'm just thankful to him for keeping me and giving me the opportunity to get close to him and really, truly serve him in any kind of way that I can.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller. Last four digits, 3343, you're on
air. Yes, good evening, everybody. No, I did not understand why God put me on my knees. I thought I was doing the right thing, and I wasn't doing the right thing, and he turned my world around and put me on the right road where I had to go. And he's been pushing on me ever since. And every time I step on one side, he stepped right back behind me and let me know I'm on the right road. And each time he do that, I know the Lord is telling me, "I'm good, sir. You're on the road. You keep on going." So I don't stop now. But I'm all right. I'm all right. He got me on the road now, so I ain't stopping now. Yeah, I don't understand why he had to put me on the right road. And this book got me on the right road. I knew what the book was, but I just went on the right road. I'm on the right road right now. I'm keep on trucking. Thank God
Amen.
For that. Amen.
God bless.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 7837. 7837, you on there?
Hello, everyone. Good evening. Here's the thing. God's going to work in your life through Jesus Christ if you allow him, you know, but you have to be prepared to allow him to work in your life. And we're going to go through things that we don't understand, you know, just let his will be done in you. But in order for you to do this, you have to have some patience. You know, things don't work in our lives exactly the way we want to. You know, we can't always get what we want when we want them, when we want to. It's got to be His will in our lives. You know, we have to just keep on pushing and, you know, and just be patient and, you know, allow His will to be done in your life. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to the next caller. Last four digits, 5310. 5310, you're on air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
The question was, do you understand why you had to go through?
Yeah.
The things that I went through in life was to build my patience, because I didn't have much of that. Because I wanted it how I wanted it. So the Lord had to work with me on being patient, that there was times when I was not going to get what I wanted, when I wanted it, and how I wanted it. So I'm still work in progress on that part. But he also and that's my husband's fault. But he's also has shown me that I have to show more love. I have to be show more kindness, and I have to be patient. I have to be patient with others in my family. I'm still working on that part. I have to be patient with, you know, people on my job. And also in this ministry walk, I have to be patient, because everyone is not where you feel they should be, but it's not up to you. So that's why you have to show love, you have to be patient, and you have to be kind, because everybody's not going to get to where you are. And if everyone's at the same plateau, then what else is there for us to learn? And so in this Christian walk, everyone has it's like a step program. We're all at different steps. We're still climbing, but we're all on different steps. So everyone have a blessed week, and I love you very much.
Love you too.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller, last four digits, 1510. 1510, you're on air. All right, you must be listening there. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712, you're on air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
For a while, I struggled with this because, you know, I think we talked about it before. When I first signed up to be a Christian and gave my life over to the Lord, it seems like that's when I started to be attacked. I started to question certain things, and it seems like I started to really pay attention to what was going on around me. But again, through studying the Word, through talking to my parents, talking to people in the ministry, you know, things started to slow down for me a bit, and also started to make sense. And then I realized that the reason I started going through things is because when I told God that I wanted to be a Christian and go on this walk and go on this journey, God had to prepare me for that. So the reason I believe that I went through these things was because my faith had to be tested. My commitment to the Lord had to be tested in order for us to be stronger and to get to certain levels. I think Sister touched on it about we're all at different levels and steps. We have to go through some things because that's the only way we're going to grow. But nobody likes getting their faith tested. Nobody likes you know, getting their commitment tested. Nobody likes going through their growing pain. So I believe that's what the issue was, is that I had my sights set on the goal about what I wanted to do. But guess what? I didn't enjoy the process. I didn't enjoy getting beat up. I didn't enjoy turning down things that before I turned my life over to Christ, things that I would enjoy doing, hanging with my friends. I had to make some life changes. I had to make some serious changes. I had to transform myself, but it's not a fun, easy process. And when it's hard and it's difficult, it seems like the process is so drawn out and so long because it's not pleasant. And I realized that in order for me to be serious, in order for God to know that I'm serious, I have to go through some things and I have to get comfortable being uncomfortable, you know, because when we become stagnant, God can't use us. There's no room for growth. So we have to continue to challenge ourselves and push ourselves and accept the fact that as we conquer certain things in life and certain challenges, there are going to be more waiting for us as we get to that next level. But that's when I realized, you know, why we go through some things in life, because it's one thing to say, oh, God, you know, help me, you know, to get better and help me to put away that bottle, help me to stop gambling, help me to manage my money. But guess what? The second you ask for those things, guess what's going to happen when you walk out that house or you walk out that church? You're going to be tempted with them, because now God's going to say, okay, you come to me, you ask me to help you do things, to get over things. But guess what? You got to do your part. You got to resist the temptation, and you got to show me that you're serious about getting better and growing. But again, a lot of us have the goal in mind, and it's real easy to see where we want to be and how we want to get there, but we don't want to go through the steps. And that's what I had to learn to do. I had to embrace the process, as painful as it is, as slow as it is. As some days I have some good days, I have some bad days, but I keep pushing forward. Mm-hmm. But I had to embrace the process, and it's not a pretty process. It's only going to be pretty when you come out on the other side. But for me, that's when the light bulb went off, is that, you know, I had to accept the fact that in order for me to get to where I wanted to get to, I got to go through some things. It's not going to be an easy journey. And guess what? The journey's not going to be meant for everybody, because there are tons of people that have come before me and then that will come after me, that this journey is not going to be cut out for them. And some people are going to fall by the wayside. You may have some family members. You may have some friends, some close friends that you've known and been in your life for a while. But guess what? You're going to eventually outgrow them. And unfortunately, we are going to have to compromise some relationships if we want to get closer to God. But, you know, it's something that I think about daily. Sometimes I struggle with it daily, because I'm not going to sit here and lie that every test doesn't hit me or impact me a certain way. But I know that I can seek my guidance and my strength from the Lord. So that's how I'm able to cope and deal with these lessons and going through trials and tribulations, ultimately to have a testimony at the end. So we can all come together, such as we're doing in this forum, to share our stories and to share our testimonies to help somebody that may be going through something right now, that may need to hear our testimonies, that may need to hear a word, that may need to hear these scriptures to help them go through a process that they're currently in. But, you know, great question for tonight. As always, you guys do a fabulous job. I commend you all, and love you. Take care.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Dr. G, we'll do it for our callers. Just want to get some last words from you, and if you could close out with prayer.
Well, you know, I think what everyone has said is pretty much the truth. This Christian walk is a journey, and we start out as babes, and it is the thing where the Lord has to show us that, you know, what he gives us, a little piece of it in the beginning, to see where our commitment level is. Now, once we make up in our minds that we're going to follow him like Job did, there the temptations get greater, the obstacles get a little bit more. But God is always right there. And that's the thing that we have to keep in mind. You know, we're never alone. The Lord is right there putting his arms around us. But if we get to the point that we make up in our minds that come hell or high water, I'm going to serve the Lord, we will become just like Cornelius, and the Lord will erect monuments up in heaven towards us. That doesn't mean that we're still not going to go through stuff.
Right.
It just means that, you know, we're going to go through our share, but God can brag on us as he did with Job.
Mm-hmm.
So I pray that we will continue to learn and get serious. Because life is short right now. There are a lot of people dying, and we really need to take heed of it. So with that, we're going to ask everyone just to bow their heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just another evening that we were able to get into your word. Father, we pray right now for this lesson, and I hope that it has helped others. Father, help us to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to grow in your word, Lord. Lord, I pray for other people that still need to be on this line. Father, I'm praying that you would convict and convince. Show us, oh God, that we're better with the word than without it. Help us, oh Lord, now that we continue to go through our daily devices and doing what you want. And Father, whatever shortcomings are there, I pray that you would help remove them. Father, we ask these and all other blessings and favors in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.